Blog Talk Radio.
John L. Brown, author and filmmaker, native of Lake Charles, Louisiana, is taking his expose on race relations in America, Mentally Blind, Open Your Eyes, to another level by doing a documentary entitled The Mentally Blind in America. The documentary will open the viewer's eyes to homelessness, poverty, hunger, the real rules of the criminal justice system, and other poverty-related issues that challenge underemployed, unemployed, and homeless people in American post-recession. The Mentally Blind in America, a documentary, will enlighten people of color and people in poverty on how to restore their credit rating and expunge their criminal records. The Mentally Blind in America, a documentary coming this fall. Real people, real stories. The Mentally Blind, Open Your Eyes, a documentary on race, poverty, the recession's aftermath, and more. Follow our post on Facebook's The Mentally Blind in America. The Mentally Blind in America.
Good afternoon, everyone. Yes, yes, yes. Welcome to the Uplifting Communities Talk Show with John and Ms. J.
Hey.
And I just want to let you guys know that we got a show for you guys today, and it will be good. So y'all get y'all a cup of coffee, a soda, or a beer, or whatever you feel like drinking, and y'all just sit back, relax, and get ready for a great show. But before I go any farther, I'm going to ask Ms. J if she don't mind taking the pleasure of bringing our special guests on today.
Oh, absolutely. First of all, thank everybody for joining us. And you know, if you're listening online, all you have to do is dial the 607-203-5336, select number 1 and join the conversation. And if you're listening online, just push 1 and join in. You know, I'm really excited because us ladies, we love when men put us first. And we have a gentleman here today that are putting women first. And it's really remarkable all the things that Mr. Daryl McKeever, I always mess up his name, McKeever is doing for the ladies in Philadelphia. So before we get started, I'm going to have Daryl tell you a little bit about himself, and then after that I'm going to ask him a few questions about what made him do this. So, Daryl, tell the audience a little bit about yourself.
Hey, hi. I'm so glad you all have me on the show today. I'm an author and a motivational speaker, and at this time just moving forward with some projects for our women of color, uplifting, empowering, and encouraging programs and workshops that hopefully are reaching people, and especially our female population. It starts from the book that I wrote, Sick and Tired, Sick and Tired. And that book addresses a very interesting statistic. And the statistic is that 80% of African-American homes are run by women. So me, being a person that's drawn to mathematics and statistics, quickly saw, well, if 80% of the homes are run by African-American women, that means that the African-American women lead our communities. And if they lead our communities, if I need to make a change, they're the ones who I need to speak with. They're the ones who I need to empower. They're the ones who I need to help become better and stronger leaders. And so it kind of, everything kind of evolved from there.
Now, when you make that comment, you know, because John has said we have to have these type of discussions as well, because John says that a lot of sisters doing stuff, you know, and not saying that there are no brothers out there, you know, putting in any work, but it does seem to appear that the women said, okay, if they're not going to do it, I guess we got to do it. And it goes back to, you know, I always say go back to slavery day. Well, we carry a lot of burden. We've always carried a lot of burden. And so I wonder, is that because, you know, we feel that even now today, we feel that obligation to keep our community and our families together, you know, and when does it become, you know, like when do the brothers step in and kind of even that out? You know, why didn't you just tackle that subject because you are a man? Why did you, you know, decide, well, let me help the sister instead of attacking that subject?
Because it might sound really funny, but I only have one lifetime, and I need to make a change within this lifetime. And so I've got to go where someone is willing to listen to me and willing to, A, maybe he has a point. If I speak to one woman and I get through to her, I have the opportunity to change an entire family because I changed her mindset. If I speak to a brother, and if I get through to him, because many times I don't, it's only on the surface I get through to him. Many times I only get through to him. I don't get through to a family because women run families. Kids need change now. Children need role models now. Not later, not when brothers get it together, not when a brother has an epiphany, oh, that we need to do something. I need to make change now because I'm getting older and older and older. So that's a part of my answer, yes.
I mean, that makes sense, you know, but it's sad, too. I mean, it makes a lot of sense, and I have much respect for any, you know, brother, sister, whatever, woman, man out there doing something, but it's in a way, it's kind of sad, too, because, like you said, when you reach a man, it depends on where he's at in his life, and doesn't necessarily mean he's with that family, so it doesn't really affect that family. It affects that individual, whereas dealing with the person that runs the house, it affects everyone, and that's deep.
Yeah.
We're in that place right now that we got to think, like, kind of sad, you know?
Yeah, it is sad, but,
yeah.
You know, the good part about it, the one thing I'll say, the good part about it, I do get a chance to reach a lot of men. I get the chance to reach a lot of men from the things I say, just the way I interact with different men, the way that I show them that many sisters are moving forward, pushing forward, making strides, and I challenge brothers, hey, why not you? Can't you do this also? And sometimes I get a chance to reach them. But like I said before, if I need to reach families, then I got to go to who's running families, and that's women.
Wow.
And you're right. You're 100%
yep.
right.
Yes, unfortunately,
you know,
he is, right?
Yeah. I mean, I would say the same thing. You know, I would say about 80% of the households, the
mm-hmm.
women are running, especially in your
yeah.
African-American communities. And
mm-hmm.
I see it all the time. It's not, I mean, and what you're saying is that, you know, a lot of people don't see it, but when your eyes are open, and
mm-hmm.
you out there, you talking to people, you automatically see it. But,
yeah.
you know,
mm-hmm.
like it's a lot, like I said, there's a lot of brothers out there, too, you know, is trying to make a difference. There's a lot of brothers like yourself, like myself, and I know several other brothers out there that's trying to make a difference. But
mm-hmm.
I think
mm-hmm.
what it is, women's, you know, they organize. Whereas though, you know, the men's, we don't organize.
Okay.
I know, ladies right now, they'll get together. They'll bring one woman in, and she'll join teams. Several women will get together and join teams.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and join team. And, man, they do some great work. I'm talking
mm-hmm.
about they have, I know organizations. Matter of fact, Ms. J, we done had a few of them on. That, you know, that mentoring young boys, that's mentoring children, you know, mentoring adults. I'm talking about they doing some great work, the women's. And that's what I like about you so much is because you focus on the family, you know,
mm-hmm.
the one that's actually running the family. And to be honest with
mm-hmm.
you, it's the woman. It's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the men
yep.
anymore. It's the woman.
Definitely. Definitely.
Now, you also have a program. You got several things going on. But I would like to talk about the program you have for the young ladies that are trying to attend college.
Oh,
I want to talk
okay.
about that a little bit because that is, you know, we still got more ladies in colleges than men, but it's getting better, but we still do.
Mm-hmm.
Getting
better.
Yeah, it's getting better, and I salute. But you are working with young ladies who cannot actually afford to go. And so what made you develop that program? Because most of your subject that I've looked into is really for the older woman, but this right here is for the young lady becoming that older woman. And so let's talk about that.
Okay, yeah. You're speaking of the Colorful Dream Project. And it is a project which helps young African-American women go through, and their family, go through the hurdles of the college admissions process. Many times, you know, it stemmed from this. This is where it stemmed from. I was a longtime college coach. I coached college track and field. And if you're in college athletics, the mainstay of your work is recruiting. And so every time I would have African-American students come to my office on a recruiting visit, they were completely clueless of what the college admissions process was all about, as far as testing, what test scores they needed, as far as filling out financial aid forms. I mean, the whole process, they were just blind, and so were their parents. And so what that made me do was think, hey, there's a necessity for this help. And so once I left athletics, I continued on with young female athletes, and trying to help their families be equipped to get them through the process and possibly get financial scholarship dollars for themselves. So that's kind of where it started.
And that's really a great program, because a lot of people don't know how to fill out college applications. I know that I had to help, like, my daughter, I think, one time was asking me questions, and other people, and a lot of people miss out on money because they do not know how to fill out the applications correctly.
Right. And the major part of that is our people, we start too late in the process. The student wakes up during their senior year, and they say, hey, now I want to go to college, and I'm going to try, I'm going to do all I need to do. Whereas what they needed to do was start the process in their junior year, or start looking at the process possibly in their sophomore year. And so they get all of their ducks lined up, and so then they're going forward. And so many times, by the time our kids even have a clue of what they want to do as far as college, many times it's too late.
Yes.
That's right.
I agree.
That's true.
And you're right about starting, because when I was in school, they said if you were going to college, you started in seventh grade preparing for college. And by the time I got to see my senior year, I had all my classes done, my college classes, so I was able to not go to school my full senior year. I was working at the bank on 26th and Wilshire, and taking 2 hours in the morning and working. So that was to my mother. She's an educator. She was no joke. Like, she didn't get the education that we got. She had to fight for her education, you know. In the Carolinas, and she picked cotton.
Well,
she did all that stuff. So,
I think it all depends on the part of the country you're living in, though. Okay.
No, I think
and
it depends
reason,
on who's in your household. Because I had some people. We're not motivated. It depends on the parent or the village that backs that kid.
Well. I'm looking at my family, and I come from a family, you know, my grandmother raised me, and my grandmother couldn't read or she couldn't write. Okay,
right.
And so that's what I'm saying. You know, like the South.
Yes, but she couldn't
give you
something.
You know, if you 60 years old in the South. If you're 60 years old right now and you got your parents, 9 times out of 10, and if you lived in the South, 9 times out of 10, your parents did, well, I would say not 9 times, I would say maybe 7 times out of 10, your parents didn't even finish high school.
Then I was blessed. My mother was raised in Durham, South Carolina. So then I was one of the blessed ones because that's where she was raised. And then she went to Philadelphia. So then I was blessed because she was part of that generation where they had to fight for education and things like that. And she did live in Durham, South Carolina. And I know back then it's not what it is now. So I guess I was blessed to have that 3% that you're speaking of. But I still believe that even if and that's her personal passion and drive, I guess, to have better, do better, make sure her kids were better. And I still think that it still goes back to people cannot give you what they do not have. So you can't expect something from somebody that they don't have it within them to give you, right?
That's right.
I know some poor people. Like, I'm poor too, y'all. Don't get it twisted. But I'm talking about some real poor people. And
you're not poor.
The poor, but those mothers their kids don't think poor or act poor because their mothers don't allow it. And it goes mm-hmm. back to him saying, starting, you know, the mothers are running the homes. So those young ladies, and I'm talking, these young ladies are struggling, but their kids are not a part of that struggle.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the
mm-hmm.
core of that household does play a big difference, or that village, or that support system. Maybe back, maybe not back in the day, but I think
mm-hmm.
right now, especially with the different type of children that we have now, they're coming out smart.
Yeah, I wanted to ask Dara a question on that. Sorry, Ms. J.
No, you're good. I'm done.
Okay. Yes, Dara. Okay.
Yes.
You out there in the communities, and you are very, very, very active in it, and I know this. And you're dealing with younger children, younger kids, you know, trying to, you know, mentor them, give them some type of motivation, and things, and other things that you're doing. What do you think that you see, okay, that the kids are lacking? What are they lacking? Because everybody, I was talking with somebody today, and they was telling me, what are we going to do to get our children on track? What you think, what's going on?
That is a mountainous question. And part of it can be answered from a few things Ms. J said, and also, John, a few things you said about, number one, about family, number two, about where you are, demographics, proximity. This is how I'll put it. It's easy to say, okay, what are these young people going to do, as if they need to change themselves. They can't change themselves. They need structure at home. They need role models from home. They need adult models to model themselves after. If we can change some of the men and women that they imitate and mirror, we might be able to change some of the younger people.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, it gets so hard because an adult will say, okay, we got to change these kids. They really need a turnaround. I can't believe they do these things nowadays. And if I look at them, the kids only imitate what they see. They imitate what they see. And that's where the snowball starts from that young age. Last thing I'll put in, part of the country, what part of the country you're from, like Ms. J had mentioned before, it has some things to do with it. Just myself, as I used to recruit throughout the country, kids from Philadelphia, my own hometown, were some of the kids to get through academically, and they were hard to get through college once they were accepted. They just didn't seem to have it. Kids from New York seemed to do a little bit better, but when I went south down to Maryland and the Maryland, D.C. area, those kids seemed to have a little bit better family structure. It was weird. They had a little bit more structure, and so it was easier to get them rolling and get them going. And so that was just something that was very noticeable to me.
Yeah, that family structure, that team. And, again, it doesn't have to be a mother and father, because, like we stated, it's 80%
nope.
of African-American moms running. But you can have a girlfriend team, you know, like
mm-hmm.
single mom, so we was three of us girls. Women decided to have each other's back, so
yep.
nobody was ever without, and it really made a big difference, you know, because sometimes, you know, one person may not have no groceries. I mean, we go get together, everybody got groceries, you know. It was
mm-hmm.
just that team having so that support makes such a big difference. It doesn't care, I don't care where it comes from, as long as you have it, it matters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's funny you say that. Well, because about, you know, it's not about having a male and a female in the house, because the female can do the job all by herself, and also the male. It was a lady, an older lady. I was on Facebook, and she must have been somebody that put something up that she had wrote a long time ago. And it stated that, you know, we got away from God, the newer generation, you know, we got away from God because women's been taking care of the kids by herself for a long time. because when their husband passed away or something like that, she took them children and she raised them herself. Very seldom you saw a woman get married right after her husband got killed. And what that lady saying, it made a long, it made so much sense. She said she prayed for those children. She prayed to her children. God was their father, you know, and she let God put their father. And I thought about what she said. And right now today, you know, like, you know, I don't think that a lot of people, you know, especially single moms and stuff, you know, that's having a hard time with their children to get them to listen, go to school, be respectful. I don't think that they letting God take care of their children. I mean, I don't know. I might be wrong, you know, and I'm hope I'm wrong, but that I don't see it.
Well, you know what? I'm a piggyback on you. I'm a piggyback. Then I want to bring up something else. But I, you know, one thing about that though, I will say, because I'm a single mom, and you do, you know, I think a lot of times you're struggling so much. You do pray, but I don't. Your prayer is so big. A lot of times, you might miss something. But I think as a single mom, you always pray for your kids. But you got to realize, too, you're not your only child's influence. You can be praying over your kid. You can give your kid everything. But once they leave your house, there's other influences sometimes that's better than yours. You know what I'm saying? So you got to – that's, you know, so I get the prayer thing, and I really believe that that's a great point that lady made about for mothers understanding when their kids don't have a father to say, okay, you know, God is your father. You know, in other words, you're not without a father. You have a father. He's just in a different form, if that works for their household. But I think a lot of times that I don't want anybody to get mad at me, but a lot of people fall out with churches, and then it makes them fall out with God, and they shouldn't have that connection because God is a different source. And what they do in that church, that's humans. And I think a lot of times we mix it, and we fall out with God because we fall out with the different type of churches or religions, and we fall out with God. And I think that's a valid point that you make, that spiritualism has to be in that house some kind of way.
Mm-hmm. What you think about that, Dara?
I think a lot about that. And the only reason why I smile is because that's actually incorporated. We haven't talked about the workshop that I do, A New and Better You, but that is incorporated. Spirituality is incorporated in holding families together. And so, you know, yeah, definitely not to cut you off. Spirituality is a key. Here I go with percentages again. 80% of all African-American homes are run by women. Also, 80% of African-American women believe that God or religion is important in a home. And so I try to push on that. If God is important in a home, then the structure of whatever religion it is you follow is important also, because it can give you structure. It can give you somewhere to go for resources. It can give you help you as a plan. And if you're putting that plan also in your life, it can't help but be a positive. It brings unity. It brings strength. It brings people working together. If you're in a situation where you're actually learning about spirituality and the strength of people, Christians, being together, it can't help but be useful, you holding your family together.
Absolutely.
Hmm. That's right. Yeah. Well, anyway, I just want to let the audience know, if you want to ask a question or elaborate on something, please press 1, okay?
You mentioned your workshop. So let's talk about, I know you talked about the one that I kind of tapped into a little bit, but what about other workshops that you have?
Yes, ma'am. A New and Better You. And that is the most recent project that's going here. And it's been a powerful workshop. It's a mobile workshop where we talk about things that are real within the African American community and our women. So we talk about single motherhood. We also talk about sexual abuse. We talk about domestic abuse. We talk about those things, even though they're not nice to talk about. We bring reality to those subjects, that they are there, and how can we heal from them? How can we steer our young girls away from that? How do we protect them? But then we also talk about the really powerful things, such as education and entrepreneurship and the strides that African-American women are making in education and the strides, the super strides that they're making in entrepreneurship. And then we always come back to the greatest question, why not you? You can be a part of that. You can be an entrepreneur. You can put your mind to use. You can be a person that gets an AA degree or a four-year degree or a master's or a bachelor's or a master's. And so we talk about those things, and at the end of the day, we talk about unity and women working together. Like you mentioned before, it doesn't matter who or how. If people are working together, those women make it work. And so during the workshop, we're able to get women who don't know each other at all to sit down, learn about each other, and work together and make connection with each other. And so the workshop, A New and Better You, has been a really strong thing. Just started with that project this spring, and it has been good. It has been very good.
Now, you mentioned everything but relationship and dating. So, you know, I'm a chick. I'm going to bring it up. So
yeah.
You have those type of workshops about making better choices.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, and things like that, because even though women are out there entrepreneurs and they're doing a lot of things, they still want to be loved like everybody else. So that, you know, how do you teach them to have it all pretty much? Because that's a challenge. A lot of people don't think they can have it all, but with balance, I believe you can. So is that something that you teach the ladies, you guys talk about ever?
We do. And I'm smiling here. You can't see me. I'm smiling because it feels It feels as if you've been to the workshop. It's really funny.
No, but I'm the teacher couple.
It's good because it feels like you've been right there. Because, now, you know, we do the workshop for women, and we do a version of the workshop for teens, too. And the great part about it is I ask the same blunt question. I go to my whiteboard, and I say, okay, you all tell me, what is a man? And the ladies start throwing out attributes of what men are, what men should be, what they've seen men, how they've seen men act. And we put them all out there so everybody gets a chance to express. And so then the next question is, when you choose men in your life, do you always look at these attributes? And when they're very honest, they say, hey, no, we haven't been looking at the things we should look at when we go to choose men or choose men that are going to be in our lives. And then we just have some great open conversation about that. We don't stay there. We don't stay there forever because it's definitely not about, hey, this is a workshop to teach you to choose the right man, but it is a workshop to teach you to make the best choices and
that's
the best
it.
Choices for yourself and who who invades your space. We talk
that's
a
right.
lot about that, especially the team. You can't allow anyone to invade your space unless
Hello.
They're invited. And so.
Wow.
We talk about
that's
that.
Heavy, yeah.
And that's what I was your energy.
Yeah, I love it.
Everybody into your energy. Everybody's not allowed, and sometimes you have to gracefully bow out. But you have to learn that because women are natural pleasers.
Okay, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes, you're right, man. I mean, it all depends. You know, you can meet a lot of everybody, every man or woman meet. Don't mean as though that man is good for, you know, because, you know, they might have a little money. They might have their own, you know, a nice job or, you know, a nice business or look good. Might be the Incredible Hulk, you know.
Yes!
But,
well, it wasn't Incredible Hulk, John. He's green now. Come on now.
Hey,
we'll
look
take
here.
The rock. We don't want no Incredible Hulk.
But he might not be
that person for her. And, you know, like I talk to a lot of women too, you know, and that's one thing I tell them, you know, and a lot of women call me and ask me for suggestions and what I think about this and a lot of, you know, like I'm not, you know, I don't know everything, but I use common sense and I just tell them, you know, well, like, you know, you can't let nobody invade your space until you get to know that person, you know, and watch that person action, because mm-hmm. actions speak louder than words. You know, mm-hmm. you can say what you're going to do, you know, but if you're not working toward it, you know, in a person working toward what they're going to do, what they say, you know, and, you know, you just have to use common sense. Use what God gave you to figure that person out, because, man, it's, you know, there's a lot of people can come to you, you know, dressed in a lot of ways. When I mean dress, I'm talking about conversation-wise, you know, clothes-wise, you know, and you know, material things-wise. You know, they could be beautiful, you know, but that person, they might not mean you no good. You know, so I tell a lot of ladies that, you know, just be careful. You know, be careful out there.
That's if you watch the ID channel, you never date. Trust me. Watch the ID channel. It's like one or two shows. You never date anyway. You know, I think you guys both, John makes some valid points, you know, because I think women, in spite of, you know, what we try, men think we're hard. We're not hard. A lot of times we're just tired. And I think it's disguised under that. That's that wall of just being tired and fed up. And, it's, you know, people think it's one thing and it's actually another. And I think what you're doing is also breaking down these walls, because once the walls come down, we can mm-hmm. have better communication between man and woman. And I think that is really
yes.
something we've lost in our community, too, is that our men and women, we just don't communicate well. We just, you know, I think that's, you know, like old school back in the day, you know, they stuck together. You stayed married no matter what. Nobody did. I'm not saying everybody got to stay married, so don't get mad at me. But I'm just saying back in the day, it wasn't so easy to get a divorce. People wasn't walking away. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's right.
It's just different now. It's, everything is instant. If I don't like you, okay, later, replay.
Yes, right.
There's nobody
mm-hmm.
putting in no work.
Right.
No, you're right, Ms. J. You're 100% right, because you can get married today and go to the judge tomorrow and he'll divorce you.
Yeah.
You know?
And,
I mean, it's...
You know,
yeah. Relationships got to be better. We got to do better relationships. Because, you know, we do better, as you know, as adults with our relationships. Like you said, the kids are watching us, so they watch us fight. They watch us not
right.
get along. They watch mm-hmm. us cuss out daddy. They watch mom, you know, daddy cuss out mama. They watch daddy roll up with his new chick. I mean, we think it's, we grown, we can do what we want to, but there's consequences to what we do.
Yes.
That's right. I think Dara wanted to say something. What is that you was going
to
say, Dara?
Yeah, just briefly, what I was going to say is one of the things I try to get across to many of the women that I speak with, when they're making a choice of any man who enters their life, they're no longer just making a choice for themselves. They're making a choice for themselves and their children. Because whether the man meets their children or not, that man influences, has an influence over what happens.
Right.
If that woman is angry with that man or hurt by that man emotionally, it shows to that to those children. If that woman mm-hmm. is overly excited, that woman is starting to not be as cautious, it shows to those children. So those children are affected. And so you must take your time and you must be an observer of that man and make choices, not just for yourself, but for your entire unit.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That is so true. And, you know, I see that, like, no disrespect. I'm not going to be my friend on Facebook no more. But, like, them old ladies with them selfies and the cellulites, and they got little boys in the back. And, and I mean, first of all, you shouldn't be on there. That's just gross, period. But the fact that you got your kids in the background, but that you a 40-year-old lady, and I've seen some old ones, so I'm talking 40 and up. I've seen them, and then they bathing suits, and they dripping and everything. You know, it just, you get to a point at your age where you got to grow up. and respect yourself, because you are what you're gonna, what you put out there is what you attract, even at a mature age.
Right.
You know, so I think we have to be cautious of that. You know.
Yeah, you're right, Miss J.
Messy. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, no, I was just saying you're right, but I wanted to ask Dara another question. Dara, you've been in the communities and working in the communities for a long time. What you see that we need in our African Americans communities throughout the United States? What you see that we need, basically, just a base that where as though we can start off at, that to help us uplift the communities.
Unity. Simple word, unity. We so do not work together. We're not working together. We're not moving in the same direction. We as a people, we escalate too quickly. What I mean by that is we get angry very quickly. We want to resort to violence very quickly. We want to revert to arguing, cussing, fighting very quickly. If you bring a large number of us together, we are not, there's a good chance that violence will break out. See, these kind of things have to cease. If we're going to go out on a limb and say that Black Lives Matter, then we need to live by that and show that and let that be a part of us, that Black lives do matter, and work in unison to show that we do matter to one another. So I would say unity.
That's an awesome thought. You got a woman's magazine, so I don't want us to go off without talking about that. Let's talk a little bit about the magazine that you have for women.
Yes, Ruth Magazine. I smile when you bring it up because it's just been a great magazine. It is encouraging, uplifting, empowering. The articles range from fitness, health, beauty, fashion. There's some spirituality. There's some mental health. There's something in there for everyone. Real estate, everything. And everything that comes into the magazine, 90% of the articles are written by women. And everything is upbeat. It is up-tempo. There are empowerment pages. There are great models, and there are great model pages. And it's a very fun magazine. We wanted to have something that wasn't real heavy, that anyone could pick up and say, hey, wow, and smile about it and just get into it.
Well, is this online or regular at the regular stores and stuff?
No, it's an online magazine, but you can have a hard copy of the mag. You have to order it. You order your hard copy of the mag, and it feels great in your hands when you read it. It's nice and thick and really well done. So a person can read it by hard copy. A person can read it by digital copy. It is there. It is there.
And I'm sorry. But anyway, also, I wanted to talk to you about telling the audience a little bit about your book.
Sure. Sick and Tired of Sick and Tired.
Right.
Preparing Black Women for Change. And it just talks about, hey, we've talked through the book today. All the things that we've talked about today are incorporated in that book. And we talk about single parenthood, the need of it, the need of unity, the need of making better choices. And we talk about raw statistics. And sometimes they're not fun to talk about, but we talk about them. And we talk about the raw statistics of what our men are not doing. So men are challenged when they get a hold of it. And it gives a great thumbnail for women to see what the women are doing and what they can do in a greater. And then it all gets tied back to spirituality. It really does. The book really does say, hey, if you can't find the answers that you're looking for, start by going to a church. Choose a church, not because the church will have all the answers, but the church will have some structure, the church should have some foundation, and the church should be able to give you some options of what you can do. And if you don't find them in church A, then move on to church B. But find yourself getting some kind of spiritual grounding to help along with this journey.
That's powerful.
Yes, it
is. I agree. I so much agree.
Yeah.
You know, know, because some people use the word spiritual and people use the word Christianity. I use spiritual because I think being a Christian, it really encompasses a lot, and a lot of people use the word and do not really know what that and don't live up to it, Christ-like.
Well put. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we got like 4 minutes left on the show, and I wanted to talk to Ms. J about maybe she can start closing us out.
Well, absolutely. Well, first of all, thank everybody for joining us. This is a great show. I love shows like this. And, Daryl, it was a pleasure to have you. And I know you talked about unity and things like that, but let's give them one more powerful affirmation or something on the way out. What would you have to say?
I would say one of the statements from the workshop, no woman left behind. That comes from the Marines. When they go into battle, they're always no man left behind. And so our women, if they took on the mindset of no woman left behind, then when you see a sister who's falling down, you're going to pick her up. You see a sister that's going astray, you're going to pull her back in line. You see a sister who's in need, you're going to give her, you're going to feed her, because it's all one mission. So I always say, no woman left behind.
Well, what can I say after that? But yes, sir. You know, because that is so powerful, and that's why we love this show, because we really believe that all of us working together, we're going to make a difference. You do what you do. John does what he do. I do what I do. Somebody else do what they do. But if we all doing something together, we're going to make a difference. And that is what this show is really about. Mr. John L. Brown.
Yes. First of all, I would like to thank Daryl for coming on the talk show, Uplifting Communities. And, man, you know, this was a powerful, I'm talking about a powerful interview. We had a lot of people that I could see that called in. And I'm hoping that the audience got something out of this talk show today. Man, I mean, you just doing so much amazing work, and I learned a lot myself, you know, from this talk show, you know. And I appreciate you, man, and you know. And I want to say this here from John L. Brown and Uplifting Communities talk show, we want to say thank you.
Oh, thank you, John. It was a pleasure. And I'm glad that you and Ms. J had me on. Thank you.
Ms. J says thank you, too.
Yeah, because, you know, I mean.
I do appreciate it. It was a great show, and I really thank you. And thank everybody for listening, and we really appreciate it. Thank you. Have a good night. Peace and blessings.
Okay, peace and blessings. Good night.